Good morning. It's always wonderful to see you. Welcome this morning. Welcome to our online viewers. Great to have you online this morning. And we'd like to just, we want you to know that you are deeply loved. And that even though you're not here with us this morning, we can't wait for the day when this church will just be full again. What a blessed day that will be. Won't you please join us? We're going to enter into a time of worship and praise. And this week I kind of experienced that there were a lot of people on a daily basis that I spoke to that were experiencing fear. And I want to encourage you this morning with a scripture from 1 John 4, verse 18, that says that there is no fear in love, and perfect love casts out all fear. And we need to start declaring that it's God's grace that holds the ground that was once held by fear and pain. So let's stand this morning and let's just enter into His throne room and worship Him wholehearted.
Stepped out of the grave, shouldered me.
Jesus, that we are secure in your love. Worship you, Lord.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise.
Deserve.
Your grace I stand, the greatest.
thank you so much for putting your love on the line. Thank you for loving us so much, Lord, and thank you that we can know today that we belong to you, Lord, that you rescued us, that you saved us, Lord. Thank you that we can be found in you, forgiven and loved. Lord, we shout about your goodness this morning, your faithfulness, your mercy. We thank you for your grace in which we can stand, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are victorious in you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us with an everlasting love. Thank you, Lord, that nothing can ever separate us from the love that you have for us, Lord. Thank you that we can know today we are loved by you. You are love, and you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Thank you that we can focus on you. Thank you that we can rejoice in you. That we can be found in you, that we can stand in your grace. That we can be strong in the grace of God. We thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for healing hearts this morning. I thank you for restoring souls. I thank you for dreams that will come alive in people's hearts again, Lord, as they hear your word, as they encounter your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your desire for us to be whole, to walk in healing, to walk in abundance. Thank you for this precious new covenant, Lord, that we have because of you. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. You may be seated. Thank you so much to the worship team. I was just thinking again, we are so blessed in this church with an amazing worship team. Praise God. We can just go on and on worshiping God, eh? Praise God. But, well, good morning to all of you and welcome to everyone watching online too. Thank you for joining us today. And we hope you will feel very much a part of a service today, and we believe you'll be blessed. And then we also want to welcome all of our guests today. So if you are here for the very first time, please just raise your hand. We just want to welcome you. Keep your hand up until someone gets to you with a gift. Anyone here for the very first time? Any guests today? All family. Well, always great to have family in the house too. So awesome. Well, we do have some guests. Wonderful. Let's give them a hand and make them feel welcome. Wonderful. Thank you for joining us today. Great to have you here. And then we also want to give you an opportunity to give this morning, if that is on your heart. And I just want to read out of 1 Timothy chapter 6 from verse 17 to 19 out of the NIV. And here Paul says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of a life that is truly life. And I really like this passage of scripture, and I believe life becomes truly life when we are not only rich in resources, but also rich in generosity. And Paul is saying here, you know, tell the rich, and he's not saying tell them that they are in sin or God doesn't want them to be rich, but he is saying be rich in good works too. And you know, sow into the kingdom, be willing to share, make investments that will last for eternity. And I think sometimes we read this verse and we think, well, that excludes me. That is talking to the rich out there. But you know, we are all rich. It all depends on, you know, who we compare ourselves with in the world. But if we compare ourselves to the majority of the population of the world currently, we are all rich. And Paul is just saying, yeah, be rich in good works too. But if you want to give today at the end of the service, you can. There will be people taking up a cash offering at the back of a building there. There are also other ways through which you can give. And all of that can be found on your newsletter. And then we also wanted to let you know, as our church family, I'm also the treasurer for the church, and we had a meeting on Thursday as the finance team of the church, and we looked at the financials of the year so far. So our financial year of the church starts in March. So we looked at the first 6 months of this current financial year, and we just had a look at the financials, and we just wanted to let you know that so far this year we have given 21% of all our income towards missions and outreach activities. And we just wanted to thank you for enabling us to do that. But we want you to know that whatever you give to the church, 21% of that currently goes toward missions and outreach activities. You know, we also believe in applying this verse, and we also want to be rich in good works as a church. So thank you for that, and thank you to our family, our members, and all our partners, and for helping us to do what God has called us to do as a church. So praise God for that, and thank you to all of you. And then we just want to show you two videos before Alfred comes up to bring the word today. All of our announcements can be found in your newsletter, and you can find all the upcoming events there. But we do want to show you a video about GLS coming up. We are very excited about that as a church, and we just want to introduce you again to some of our life group leaders. And if you aren't part of a life group, please consider joining one. You know, maybe you've been to a group and you didn't enjoy it so much, and that's fine, but we have a lot of other groups. You know, not everyone is always our cup of tea, but we have a lot of different groups, and it's just so valuable to be part of a smaller group. To it really helps us to grow, and God created us for community. So enjoy these videos and enjoy the rest of the service.
A place where we feel loved and can share and open up and be vulnerable.
Our life group thrives on God's love throwing through us, and on laughter and crazy moments, and even times when God moves mightily to show us His love.
We are a great family together and stay together, a safe place where we are loved on purpose. I'm Freddie.
And I'm Steffi. We lead a life group, and we meet on Wednesday evenings, 7 to 9 p.m. at 37 Kamdeboer Road, Upper Old Place.
We feast together like lekker pap en saus.
We go through sermon notes, we watch Bible teachings, we share communion, and we have social evenings.
We experience solidness in Jesus and the truth of His Word.
Make sure to join a life group and even start a life group, because there are people out there waiting for you.
Waiting for you.
Hi everyone, we are Witzke and Lente van der Westhuizen. We live in Belvedere, and we also have a life group there on a Tuesday evening in Belvedere at our house. We are a child-friendly cell group with a mixed group of people, different ages, different stages of their lives.
We create a safe space for people to come and fellowship together, connect with fellow believers, and learn more about God and Jesus and the amazing stuff that He's done for us. And I would like to motivate you to join a life group. Please reach out to the church to get connected.
In order to have growth, we must be able to endure a little bit of chaos.
We are defined by how we treat each other.
In my experience, the hard truth is that breakthrough work takes time.
From leaders, what can I do to help the people in my community that I minister to, or the people in my organization who are struggling with these mental health issues?
Grab a new light bulb, go back outside, and fix it.
Keystone habits are powerful when they involve values and emotions and talking about what we care about the most.
That you must authentically engage enough with your teams that you can then invite them into the conversation by name.
And I can remember the Lord saying, "How can you sit here and do nothing?"
Behind every face is a story, a sorrow, and a spirit to keep going.
Every executive in every country, everywhere, is talking about the return to the office, the next normal.
The crisis may cause you to fear, but you cannot quit.
Creativity is the ability to adopt the change and to create it.
But that kind of social risk-taking is what leaders have to do.
Don't you dare quit! Don't you dare give up!
Good morning, everybody. What a blessing to see all of you. So excited about the word this morning and that I have an opportunity to share with you amazing, precious, liberated, Holy Spirit-filled people. Amen. Are you guys excited? Oh, man, I'm excited. So our series name is Bloom, and we are all blooming in Jesus because of Him and the gospel and what He's doing. So if there's new people here, I'm Alfred, and I'm one of the pastors here and just enjoying the health and the amazing church that we are in. I was just thinking about the finances as Yanni spoke. Now, what a healthy thing that a congregation would have such a heart for outreach, that they would just give, and that we would be able to give in the middle of COVID and in this whole time, that we would be able to bless and give. And that's all thanks to you guys that has been supporting us. And so we really want to thank all of you that's been a part of this congregation. You guys are so amazing, so faithful. The GLS we're going to have for 4 Wednesdays in the month of October and the first week of November. And it's going to be 2 speakers a night, so two people a night. And we have it on Wednesday evening. So what we do is it costs you 100 rand per night. You come, you get a meal included in that, and you watch the 2 teachings with us, the 2 sessions about leadership. It's really amazing. Last year was so awesome, and it's also a nice atmosphere. We all care and mingle here together. If you know about somebody that maybe you think you want to sponsor somebody that you know that can't afford it, then think about that to buy a ticket for somebody else and invite them, even if it's for one night. But it's going to be great. If children want to come, then we've made an arrangement for them. They're going to pay 30 rand instead of 100, and they're also going to be able to eat, and they're going to watch a movie upstairs. There will be somebody that will put a movie up there for them. And it's going to be great. So let's all sign up for that from the 13th of October until the 3rd of November for 4 Wednesdays in a row. Steve and Mama D sends their greetings from Cape Town. And they know that today we will be highly favored and deeply loved being together. Amen. So I was just watching Yanu and Letitia and Steffi and all of them this morning. And I saw everybody wears yellow. And I was just thinking our theme this week is Bloom. And we are blooming, we are shining as bright lights in the middle of a dark and perverse generation, aren't we? And as the world falls behind, we keep on blooming and keep on lifting our spirits and let God take us to those places of heights where other people are feeling, man, life is falling apart, things are getting weird and wacky, but we stay stable in Jesus. And we have the power to keep on blooming because the message of the gospel always stays the same. And so things might change around us, but the good news of the gospel is still the same good news. And if you plant that good news in your heart, your life will start blooming. Amen. And I'm so excited about that. I had this vision the other night as I prayed, and I saw I always see waves when I pray. You guys can expect that because, you know, I'm a surfer. And so as I was praying, I saw the static wave, a wave just standing dead still, almost like an ice wave. And I thought, wow, this is kind of boring, you know. I want to surf this thing, but it's standing still. And so then in that vision, I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, look at this wave. Everybody is waiting for the wave to break. Everybody is waiting for the third wave to finish. Everybody's waiting from the beginning of the year, actually, for COVID to just pass and so that life can become normal again. And then I saw this man. He had a skateboard with him, like a snowboard almost. And he walked to this wave, and he started riding this thing like it was a play park. And the Holy Spirit just said to me, we can bloom, and we can ride the wave as if it's already gone right now. by living by faith in the gospel of Jesus. Living with our hearts encouraged by the gospel. We don't have to submit to the spirit of fear and the spirit of lack and the spirit of whatever the world is presenting to you. We can stay encouraged in the Holy Spirit and plant the good news of the gospel in our hearts and keep on flourishing. Amen? Amen. We can do that. So look at this. Psalm 92, verse 13 to 15 has been our blooming scripture for this week. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall, amen, come on. Golden oldie, shout it. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. You see, this was written as an old covenant scripture looking forward to the new covenant. And it says here that your natural age doesn't have to define you. I walked Roberg yesterday and I realized I'm not 19 years old anymore. I had a pain in my arm after I walked. How do you walk with your legs and then you get a pain in your arm? That was weird. But anyways, I'm 41 now, but I'm still young and vigorous, eh? So we can still walk a lot. But I mean, it was just amazing for me to think that as we get older, our lives can actually just get better and better. It doesn't have to get worse because our hearts govern our lives. And the more older you get, the more good news you've planted in your heart. And that means your life will get better. It doesn't have to get worse. Don't go down with the world, eh? Let your body be empowered by the gospel, the good news. The more you hear it, faith comes by hearing, and your body will get better as you get older. Don't submit to that spirit of fear. Amen. That's a faith statement there, anyway, for most of us. So, but look at how he says it here in Psalms 92, verse 15, the last verse of this scripture in the Passion Translation. It says, listen to them, that's us. With pleasure they still proclaim, you're so good. You're my beautiful strength. You've never made a mistake with me. And when we proclaim not who we are in the flesh, but proclaim who we are in Jesus. And there's no unrighteousness in him, but there's also now in the new covenant, no unrighteousness in you because you are now in Christ and God perceives you through the person of Christ and you are now righteous in his eyes. And when you look at yourself that way, it's not only that you're declaring there's no righteousness in him, you're also declaring there's no unrighteousness in me because Christ lives in me. I'm not judging myself according to the outward man anymore. I'm judging myself as righteous according to the inward man who is created, Ephesians 4:24, in righteousness and true holiness. Okay, false holiness is you trying to be holy on the outside without having it on the inside. True holiness is you being recreated, righteous on the inside, and now good works flow from the righteous nature of God on the inside of you. Amen. And so my first point here today is focus on Jesus. Now, I'll just give it to you straight from the beginning. My three points are going to be focus on Jesus, refocus on Jesus, and keep focusing on Jesus. So when you keep on focusing on Jesus, there's something amazing that happens in your life. But I've seen this in my life. Sometimes when we lose focus on Jesus, we get angry with the world. And angry people are self-righteous people. I've seen that many times in my life. If you want to see self-righteous people, they usually end up angry in life. And the reason why they're angry, because they're not angry with somebody else really, they're actually angry with themselves. And that's when your heart stops blooming. Because you have taken your eyes off Jesus and I have started putting it on other people around you. So I was reading, Pastor Steve spoke on Luke 8 last week, and he spoke about how the seed is always the constant and our hearts are the variable. And sometimes our hearts can veer in certain directions, but the seed of the Word of God, the gospel, always is a constant, is always the same. It's our hearts that sometimes disqualify ourselves. And I kept on reading in Luke 9. I'm not going to read it to you now, but I saw James and John in the story there, and James and John calling fire out of heaven, being in the wrong spirit according to Jesus. And Jesus said to them, you guys are of the wrong spirit. Now, James and John, they did that because they were angry with the Samaritans not receiving Jesus as he came to their town. But Jesus was focused on what he had to go do in Jerusalem. And it says his face was set on what he had to go do in Jerusalem. And because he had a goal, and that goal was to redeem me and you from that sinful nature, he had that goal in his heart. And as he went to Jerusalem, he was so set on what he had to go do that he actually didn't give enough attention to the people in Samaria, and they didn't receive him. And then James and John got angry with him. And he said, Lord, let us call fire from heaven right now so that we kill all these people who don't want to listen. And Jesus said, okay, guys, whoa, relax. You are of the wrong spirit. You see, we become of the wrong spirit when we take our focus of Jesus and start putting it on the people around us and how they respond to our life that we give. God has put his life in you. And when you live with that life in you, you will offend people. People will get offended around you. They don't want you to be happy. They're inviting you all the time into the life of fear and despair. And that is not us. That is not us. We're going to keep on letting our light shine. It's not our little light that shines. It's our spotlight, our burning fire of warmth that attracts people and gives them that warmth of the gospel. Don't let the opinion of man, you know, make that light, that fire of yours smaller and make it feel like it's not worth living for. That light that God has placed on the inside of you is the most precious thing you have. And so let's not put our hearts on people. Jesus spoke to James and John and said to them, guys, focus back on me. You try now to please me in your own efforts, and you are disappointed because the stuff that you're doing for me right now is not working. You see, they became self-righteous because the stuff that they did for Jesus became more important than Jesus himself. And if the stuff you do for Jesus, or wherever you do it, whether you do it for your family, whether you work your job and you are a hardworking person, when that job becomes more important than Jesus, then all kinds of sorrow and stuff will flood your heart and you will not bloom anymore. And we want to bloom. We want to keep our hearts free from the opinion of man. Flow with a wonderful stream of God's grace that he has provided for you in Jesus. And let that be your affirmation. Let that be your life source. Let God be a true and every man a liar, as it says in Romans. But if that has happened to you, and you're sitting here today, and you're thinking, man, my focus has veered. My focus has gone in the wrong direction. I want to encourage you with my second point. Refocus on Jesus. Refocus again on Jesus and what he's done for you. And Jesus went to that cross. He went to Jerusalem. His face was set on Jerusalem to go and pay the price that you could never pay in your own efforts. Jesus wanted to redeem you, and that was his heart for you. And so I'm going to read through this amazing passage of Scripture. It's quite a long one, and I know you guys are going to enjoy it with me. I want to just prove to you that you can actually read a whole chapter of the Bible in a Sunday service. We're going to do that, okay? Then you guys know you can do it at home as well, okay? So, but I want you to focus on a word here in Romans 5. I'm going to read through Romans 5 with you. And I want you to focus on a word, and the word is much more. Because God gave us a much more covenant. Say that with me, much more. Much more. I have much more in Jesus. Let's do that. Than I lost in Adam. Yeah, so that's awesome. Jesus has given you a lot more right now, and you have much more in him than what Adam ever had before the fall. And that's amazing news, because Adam had a good deal. But I want to show you through the scripture that Adam didn't have a good deal as we have. Okay, so let's count. If you use your hand, okay, and you start counting every time I say much more, and you start with a thumb, then we'll go through it and we'll see how many times it says much more. You guys ready? Yeah. Let's do this. Romans 5 starts at verse 6. Okay, I left the first five verses out, so I'm not going to prove it to you. But anyways, we're starting in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Say with me, much more. Then being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that's Adam, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by the one that sinned, so is the free gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by the one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift come upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. How many much mores? Five much mores. Let's give each other a high five if you can. Give the guy next to you a high five. There you are. And tell them, I have much more in Jesus. My friend, today you have much more in Jesus Christ than you ever lost in Adam. And every time you look at your hand in this week, whether you look at it from the back or the front, when you wave somebody, or go like, oh my goodness, what have I done? When you see your hand, remember, there's much more grace available for you in the new covenant. You know, five is actually the number of grace. It's the number of grace. Bible scholars call it the number of grace for many reasons. But five, those five fingers of yours preach a message to you. And it should preach a message to you that Jesus has done a much more job for you. He's given you much more grace. And even when you fail sometimes, when things go wrong, there's much more grace available for you. But it comes through a revelation of righteousness. I'm going to skip back to some of these verses. Look at Romans 5, verse 10 with me. So we're going to go to verse 10. I'm just skipping back now. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now look at that scripture. It says, for when we were enemies. Now many of us, when we read that, we think that God was our enemy. But it doesn't say that. It says we were enemies. And so that's what happens in our hearts. We start becoming enemies of God, thinking we are wrong. Look at the way it says it here in Colossians 1:21. It says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled. So this explains that we were enemies of God in our minds. Why? Through wicked works. It doesn't take much spirituality to understand that you are in trouble with God because of your wicked works. All of us have sinned. All of us do our wrong. All of us have our flesh moments, and we've had it since we were babies. And there's an intuition knowledge inside of every person that when I do wrong, somebody's angry with me. And then we judge that person to be God being angry with us. Even my dog knows when he was wrong. Have you guys seen your dog crawl to your off the couch when he wasn't supposed to be on it. It doesn't take much cleverness to realize you're wrong. Even a dog can do it. But you know what takes revelation? You know what takes spirituality? To understand that somebody has completely and utterly saved you and has redeemed you and freed you from that guilt and condemnation that we still bug ourselves with every day. That takes spirituality. That takes an understanding of something more than just the natural insight that we have through our human living. You are a human being with a spiritual understanding that somebody else has paid for you and has made you the very righteousness of God inside of him. He's made you righteous. Whether you think you're righteous or not, what Jesus has done has completely reversed and transformed you, and you are now definitely not an enemy of God. In fact, you are a much more grace receiver, and you are now living in the abundance of God's grace. He's given you the gift of righteousness, and when you live in that space, your life will start supernaturally blooming in the middle of a world that is dark and full of evil. Your life will start changing if you understand that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Look at the next verse here in Romans 5:11. It says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." You will find it very interesting. Go do a word search on the word atonement on Google and look where it appears in the Bible. It's nowhere to be found in the New Testament except here. It's the only time you'll find the word atonement. Interesting. Because we always speak about the atonement that we have. You know that atonement, that word, is actually an Old Testament word. It appears through the book of Exodus and Leviticus, all everywhere there. You'll see it a lot. But in the New Testament, it was only translated atonement once, and it was actually translated in the wrong way. Because here, atonement should have actually read redeemed or exchanged or being made righteous. The word atonement doesn't mean that something is taken away. It means it's been covered. So in the Old Testament, the Israelites and those people had atonement, which means covering for sin. In the New Testament, we don't have atonement. We have a complete redemption. We have an exchange. It's not that God is pretending that you are righteous. He has taken something out of you and replaced it with himself. And when he now looks at you through the new creation, he sees you as holy and blameless. That's the way God perceives us. You know, many of us have this mindset of God just pretend like we don't have sin and he's just okay with it. And he's like just hanging out with us knowing that we will get there one day. That's not the way God thinks. God is not a pretender. He's not a great pretender. When he did this, he did it properly. He exchanged you properly. He made you the very righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He became sin so that you can become, in his eyes, the very righteousness of God in Christ. You have much more in him right now available. It's there. It's grace. But we have been blinded by the devil in thinking we are somebody else, and we are not that. We don't have atonement only. We have redemption. We've been exchanged as a brand new person. Let's look at verse 14 here. It says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." That's verse 14. Now, this is interesting. It says, "Death reigned over those who have not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression." Why did death keep on reigning over those who didn't do the same sin as Adam? Because they inherited the sinful nature of Adam. So death kept on reigning, even if people didn't eat apples all the time, wrong apples. It kept on reigning, not by action, but by nature. By the inclination of sin that was inherited from Adam. That is how you actually start sinning and doing the wrong thing. And then a lot of us think, but if Adam never ate the apple, he would have probably done something else wrong. Eh? That's what we think. We're like, yeah, but Adam didn't eat the apple, but he probably would have strangled a dinosaur or something. He would have done something wrong. But it's not true. Because Adam was created after the image of God, and he had a righteous nature. He needed somebody else to make him sin. The devil had to move into a snake, talk to Eve. Guys, you listen to your wife most of the time, not always. But and the devil had to speak to Eve, and then through that channel, it came to Adam, and that convinced him about something that he's not and did it. You see, Adam wouldn't have sinned if he didn't do that. And if he did something wrong, there was no law to forbid him to do something else. The only thing that he wasn't allowed to do is eat the apple. So he wouldn't have been guilty of anything else, because where there is no law, there is no judgment, no transgression. So do you guys see that somebody else had to convince Adam to do that? And it's the same with us today. Somebody else has to convince us, contrary to the new nature, and that leads us into a road of despair, a road of feeling bad about ourselves, and then we get angry with ourselves, not measuring up to the righteous standard we put up there for ourselves, and when we don't measure up, we get angry and feel bad about ourselves, and that's when our lives become unblooming, if you want to call it that. But Jesus said, hey, 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 get over it. In me, you have much more, much more, much more grace. Look at verse 15 here. It says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many. It says here, the gift of grace has abounded to many. That means grace has superseded the covenant that came through Adam. It has completely superseded it, and there's a difference between the offense of Adam and the gift by grace. Look at verse 16 with me, if you can find it. So verse 16 there does something amazing. Look at it. It says, and not as it was by the one that sinned, so is the free gift. So he says there's a difference between the free gift and the offense. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift was of many offenses. Do you guys see that he compares here the one offense of Adam, the one sin, with the many offenses that was covered by the gift of grace? So if you want to compare what Adam had and what came after Adam to grace, then you have to compare it as one sin compared to all the sin that has happened from that time until Revelation, until the book of Revelation. That's how big grace is compared to one sin. Grace has covered a multitude of sin. It has taken, that's why Jesus was so focused, because he knew I was going to change the spiritual atmosphere forever and release my righteousness, my very righteous nature out of man, into man, and man is going to become now a righteous creature, a holy creature, and they'll be in righteousness and true holiness in his sight. Say with me, I have much more. Then Romans 5:20 says, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did abound much more. The law was just given for a period to show us that we can't measure ourselves to ourselves. You can't measure your, that's what happened with the Jews. Is the one they started living from this place of, okay, we are free before the law, but then they started sinning and they started looking at each other and they thought like, oh, you sin less than I do, so I must be more righteous than you. And when you do that, you get into self-righteousness, and then God came and he put a measuring stick in the middle of the thing, and he said, this is the law. That is my kind of righteousness. If you don't measure up to this, then you don't make it. And that made them all go like, oh my goodness. So that'll be like drifting sand. If you're all sinking in drifting sand, you're not knowing that you are sinking because you're watching each other and you're sinking together. But then when God plants a pole in the middle of that drifting sand and it could stand there without sinking, you would all be not watching each other anymore. Now you'll watch the pole and go like, oh my goodness, we're all sinking together. So you see, that's what the law did. The law was God's righteous standard to show mankind that they were all sinking. And so that they would cry out for grace and know that they need God's grace to save them. And then we received His grace. And now we have much more in Him. Look at the last verse there. It says in verse 21, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace is not automatic. Grace is what God provides. You receive it by faith. And when you believe it of yourself, you believe I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, then things start changing. It says grace reigns through righteousness. So you could say it like this. Grace, the power of God's favor and love and grace in your life starts reigning when you humble yourself and say, I believe it. I believe that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I believe the exchange. I believe the redemption plan. And I receive it for myself. And then grace starts reigning in your life through the revelation of righteousness. And if you don't agree with righteousness, grace won't reign. You see, God has given man free will from the beginning. And man has to agree before it gets accomplished. God can't automatically give His grace. He says in many times, He says, God gives grace to the humble. It's those, you are humble when you agree with God about you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Then you are humble. He gives grace to the humble. He gives grace for those who are able to say, yes, Lord, I know this is too good to be true, but I'll just receive it because you say it. You see, that's when you get the peace of God that transcends understanding. Because our understanding says we are sinners because we do wrong. But God says, I've done a spiritual thing inside of you that transcends that. And that's what it means when He says, when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But it comes through righteousness. Isn't that powerful? That's when we start living the blooming life, the conquering life. God is not pretending that you are right today with Him. He sees you as holy and righteous. He looks at you in a different way than you look at yourself. And it's when you come into agreement with that when things start changing. My last point, keep on focusing on Jesus. Focus on Jesus, refocus on Jesus, and keep on focusing on Jesus. Isaiah 40, verse 29 to 31, it says, He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, He increases in strength. And here for the old people again, even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Young men depend on natural strength. I can do it sometimes. It doesn't always work. I said to you guys, I walked Robert yesterday, and when I finished, my arm was sore. I was like, how did that happen? But you see, young people depend on human strength, on natural strength. But those who wait on the Lord, those who allow the message of the gospel to infiltrate their hearts, they mount up with wings as eagles. They run and they don't get tired. They keep on living and they keep on going forward in life. And as their hearts are, so are they in life. And that's the gospel. The gospel is an empowering message that changes your heart and changes your life. But it says here that He gives power to the weak. So I know some of you guys come here, and I also, we're living in a broken world. We're living in a world that is pouring fear and anxiety on us all the time. And it says here, I give power to the weak. So if you're feeling weak this morning, you're here and you came in, you're weak. I want to tell you, my friend, God, through the gospel, gives strength to the weak. He doesn't want you just to be weak. He gives power to you when you are weak so that you can become strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. Amen. And look at the 2 Corinthians 4, 7-9. It says, but we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. When we focus on God and not on us, There's power that starts flowing through us. We start blooming. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. It says we are troubled on every side. Do you have trouble on every side at the moment? Yes, you do. All of us have trouble, but we will not be in distress. We won't stress about it. We're going to rest about it. We're going to relax in the middle of the trouble. Because God on the inside, in your earthen vessel, is bigger than the stuff happening on the outside. Amen. Perplexed, that word, it actually means to be baffled, or it means to be uncertain or troubled. A lot of us are baffled, uncertain, and troubled because of what is happening in the world at the moment. But look at the promise there. He says, but you will not be in despair. Despair is the feeling of hopelessness. If you look at despair in the dictionary, it actually says like someone who lost their job or a loved one. How many of us have lost maybe jobs, have lost loved ones? It says you will not go into a feeling of hopelessness. You will not, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? The worst thing that you can happen is die and you go straight to heaven. What a blessing. Eh? Yeah, and you're not going to die. You're going to live. Amen? Persecuted, it says. Persecuted. This word persecuted just means to be persecuted. We are persecuted at the moment for carrying a positive spirit, a spirit of no fear. Because you carry a spirit of no fear, people are persecuting and say to you, we invite you into our world of being afraid and being cast down and not feeling good about ourselves. And you say, that's not me. And then it says persecuted, but not forsaken. That means not left alone. You see, they can take everything from you, but they cannot take what's inside of you. They cannot take what's inside of you. They cannot touch what God has done on the inside of you. We have this treasure in human bodies. Nobody can take God from you. He's in you. You can be persecuted, but not left alone by God. I know there's some people that feel alone at the moment. They feel alone in this world of fear. When you walk into places and you see how people act and react, you go like, am I the only one that doesn't fear? You are not alone. God's in you. You are not alone. And then in the last one, he says, cast down, but not destroyed. Cast down means to lower someone's spirit or they make them downhearted. A lot of things are making people downhearted and it's lowering their spirits. But God said, you are not destroyed. I will not let it destroy you. Because inside of you, again, there's a treasure that no one can touch. And that treasure, through the belief of your heart, righteousness, will make joy, will make grace reign in your life. And through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you will start reigning in life over those things. Start reigning in it. I'm going to end with a scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing or are being delivered, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you so much, Lord, for the eternal weight of glory that is being worked for us as we live here on earth. Father, I thank you that there's an everlasting hope in the gospel. Lord, I thank you that as that song says, my sin is dead and gone, and I sing hallelujah. Father, I thank you that my sin is dead and gone, and in you I've become righteous. And I am now the very righteousness of God in Christ. And thank you, Lord, as we just speak these words over hearts this morning, Father. I thank you as we declare those words over hearts this morning, Father, that you, Lord, encourage us again. Where people feel hopeless this morning, I thank you, Lord, that you encourage us with the everlasting hope of the gospel of Christ. That you move, Lord, inside of our being and show us again that treasure that you've placed inside of us. That conquering treasure, Lord, that only you, Lord, have the power to reveal to us. So, Holy Spirit, we submit to you. We agree with you about what you say in the Gospels, about who we are in you. And we thank you, Lord, for the gift of righteousness. Maybe you are here this morning and you've never received the gift of righteousness. You've never become a new creation. You're wondering, man, have I ever received this? I don't know if I'm saved. And if you don't know, then I'm going to give you the opportunity right now to pray with me. Let's just all pray as a congregation together for those who want to just make that decision right now. Father, we thank you that you gave your only Son, your most precious, for me. Lord, I declare that you have raised from the dead, and I rise with you right now, above this natural realm, into your kingdom realm. I am today a new creation in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Guys, I just want to bless you with this words and just send you out with, man, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you guys need somebody to pray with you, there's a team of people right there that's going to take time and just pray with you if you need something specifically that somebody needs to stand in faith with you for. But apart from that, we are always declaring over you that you are highly favored and deeply loved of God. Enjoy your Sunday.